What if you bought an asset that was not a good property, wasn't a good area, you don't understand the game you're playing, and this property's chewing up money, and it's a negative cash flow property, and it's a pain to own. Mm. And all of a sudden you say, hey, you know what? I think I might want to sell this property because I didn't buy a good asset. Oh, no. When you go to sell it, you have to recapture all that. And so all those tax savings, you have to pay back to the IRS. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore. We're back with Whiskey Wednesday with my main man, Jake Sheehy.
What's up?
What's up, buddy? You just got off a cruise.
Man, I'm feeling good.
You're gone for a week. We missed you.
Yeah, I'm happy to be back, man. I'm feeling good, feeling rejuvenated and just ready to be back.
Ready to go?
Yeah, nice. Ready to go.
That's awesome.
Plus, we come back with some really good news.
What do you got?
The one big, beautiful bill.
Oh, hey, we got it signed. July 4th.
Yeah. Oh, hold on. I should say this. I should say I'm jumping ship. Okay, so we're going to talk about big, beautiful bill. Then we're going to go over the first 90 days, what you should expect with your vacation rental, and then one hot potato question that we got.
Okay.
That's what you'll be listening to today. But first, big, beautiful bill. You know way more about this than I do, man. But there's some really good stuff with some appreciation.
For investors, specifically short-term rental investors, there's some really good news. We got back 100% bonus depreciation. Woo! Back. Yeah, that's that was a big deal. It's permanent now. It was phasing out. But here's the thing.
Okay.
Is with this stuff, you're going to see, and our listeners, if you're listening to us, you also are going to, in your feed, probably be hitting with a lot of different interests because of your interest in short-term rental investing. Mm-hmm. Your feed is going to get inundated with the short-term rental tax loophole and all the different benefits. And there is amazing benefits to it. But there's going to be a lot of so-called gurus and experts and everybody trying to tell you, hey, I'm going to give you these turnkey properties and I'm going to get you into this and you're going to save massively on your taxes. Mm. And it's not really that easy. And so there's a lot of qualifications. There's a lot of misinformation out there written by CPAs. I just saw a brochure pamphlet talking about how to get material participation in short-term rentals. And one of the things right on it, it said, and it was from a CPA firm, and it said, you will not be able to materially participate and get bonus depreciation if you have a management company on your property. That is not part of the criteria. And so my point of all of this is there is going to be a lot of information that is surface information. There's going to be a lot of misinformation out there when it comes to taking advantage of this. Our CPA, Mike Pine, always says, don't let the tax dog wag the investment, or the tax tail wag the investment dog.
Right.
Right.
And great saying. I love that.
It is. One of the things is when you understand these things and why we're so excited about it, it is massive because Uncle Sam is essentially going to help you accelerate building your portfolio. They're going to pay for a significant portion of your down payment on these acquisitions. Mm-hmm. However, if you buy a bad property, buy a property that doesn't perform, and you decide, oh, I'm going to go in. Let's say you qualified. So there's all this qualification parts of it, which is awesome because the short-term rental loophole, what it's talking about is normally in order to write off the depreciation against your active income, you have to normally be a real estate professional for a lot of different asset classes in real estate. Mm. Well, if you work full-time right there, then and there, you can't qualify as a real estate professional because as a real estate professional, you have to do that more than any other occupation that you have or anything that you're doing, right? Mm. So immediately, if you have a full-time job, it doesn't work. And so as investors, we want to be able to take our active income, buy passive income properties, but the IRS looks at income in multiple buckets. One of them is active income, which is what our W-2 jobs pay, right? Our paycheck.
Yeah.
The next is passive income. And then the next is portfolio income. For us, they're taking that passive income bucket. Mm-hmm. And if we have all these write-offs with depreciation, I have to keep it in that passive income bucket. Well, that doesn't give me as big a write-offs typically unless I have a huge portfolio. Uh-huh. Versus my active income. So what there is what they call the short-term rental loophole. And our asset class is about to become really popular again.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a lot of people flooding into it.
There we go.
And your newsfeed is going to be flooded with all these reasons why you should do it. And I completely agree. However, the big asterisk is walk into it with your eyes wide open. Right. Make sure that you're getting good information,
right,
solid information, what it takes to qualify, what it takes to participate when it's material participation versus qualifying as a real estate professional. They're completely different, even though on the surface, you're trying to accomplish the same thing, which is take all that depreciation and write it off against your active income. The nice thing about depreciation is it's a paper loss. It's not a real loss. It's not a real expense, right? And so when we call bonus depreciation, what happens is in real estate, you can't depreciate land. So you take the land out of the value of the home that you just bought.
Okay.
But everything that's built, that home is built on,
right,
the concrete, the framing, the tile, the carpet, the windows, those all have a useful life. Mm-hmm. And the IRS has gone out and said, okay, based on all these different types of material, they have different useful lives, mm-hmm, from anywhere from 5 to 15, 27 years. Like, there's all different categories, right? Okay. So you hire these people called cost segregation experts, and they give you a cost segregation study. And they'll go in and say, okay, based on this property, mm-hmm, you've got all of this depreciable material in there.
Right.
And let's say you bought a $500,000 house. And normally on a single family home, you're going to have somewhere between a 25 to 35% of that asset that you can depreciate. Mm. And so what it is, let's say you get 25% of that $500,000. Mm-hmm. And you have a cost seg study, and it says there's all this material and you got $125,000 write-off. Well, bonus depreciation, the reason we're so excited about that is we get to take that entire write-off year one. So on that $500,000 property, let's say I put 20% down, mm-hmm, and I put $100,000 down payment on that.
Right.
And I have $125,000 write-off. Well, at a 35% tax bracket, that's $43,000 and change. So I just got in an instant return a 43 or a reduction in my taxes. It's not a return. You're going to reduce your taxes. So this strategy works if you're paying taxes. You're paying money to the IRS, right?
Right, right.
So you get this write-off of 125, reduces your taxes by $43,000. I put $100,000 down. So I just got 43% of my investment right back just overnight like that because of this. And I can take it. And now that next property that I go buy for $500,000, I don't have to save up the whole $100,000 for my down payment because I've got $43,000 now.
Right there.
Right toward it.
Yeah.
And so when you start to do this and you start to capitalize on this and you start to parlay one property to the next, by the time you're in property three or four, you know, all of a sudden you're playing on house money pretty much and you're just rolling into different properties. Now, that's all the gravy and all the great parts about it.
Yeah.
However,
Did you call it the gravy?
The gravy, right? Sell the sizzle, yeah, right? All the sizzle that's going to be sold in your newsfeed that people are listening to this, here's the problem. Uh-huh. There's going to be a lot of turnkey properties offered. Mm. There's going to be people jumping in for this big one-time tax write-off. This is a one-time deal, right? Mm-hmm. Now you get this big write-off. Well, what happens in year two? You don't get that write-off and you bought a crappy asset. What if you bought an asset that was not a good property, wasn't a good area, you don't understand the game you're playing, and this property's chewing up money and it's a negative cash flow property and it's a pain to own. Mm. And all of a sudden you say, hey, you know what? I think I might want to sell this property because I didn't buy a good asset. Oh, no. When you go to sell it, you have to recapture all that. And so all those tax savings, you have to pay back to the IRS and recapture that depreciation. It's called depreciation recapture. And you have to pay back those tax savings. So now it's not that big of a benefit because so the point of this is understand the game first. Understand how to identify good properties, good markets to be in, properties that are cash flowing. Because what if you had that big savings and then year two, you also have an asset that's spitting off 50 grand a year or 30 grand a year or 20 grand a year or 100 grand a year. It doesn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. Figure out it underwrites and it's positive cash flow. Somebody else is paying for it. And now all of a sudden, why would you want to sell it? Because now I understood the game. Right. I bought a good asset.
Right.
The issue is there are a lot of people selling turnkey properties that when we look at them and we underwrite them, I wouldn't touch them with a 10-foot pole. And so don't let people... just because this is going to become very, very popular toward the end of the year, especially for you high income earners that are looking to save money on taxes and you don't have the time, you're busy with your main job and your active income and you're in a position to invest, but you have more money than time, you still have to be responsible and walk into this with your eyes wide open and understand a path forward. And so really do some due diligence on the people that you're asking to help you on the tax side. because you need the right advice on how to qualify to materially participate.
Right.
On the investment side, make sure that they're people who have actually been buying properties. They don't teach arbitrage and co-hosting because a lot of people the last 3 years have shifted to arbitrage and co-hosting because the ownership game was a harder game to sell because rates went up, prices are high, inventory is low, and a lot of people bailed because they're selling courses, right? They're the experts in this space. And now all of a sudden, they didn't stay in the ownership model. Now they're going to flip back to the ownership model because there's going to be a lot of investors wanting to buy these properties again.
Right.
So long-winded, all of this big, beautiful bill stuff is going to, on the short-term rental side, it's going to sell all this sizzle of why we should be doing this. I 100% agree with all of it.
Right.
However, there's a lot of people that are going to jump into it, and then they're going to realize, holy crap, I jumped into a game I didn't understand.
Right.
I jumped in the deep end for this one-time big tax savings, which I think you should do, but you should do it strategically and understand it, and you didn't buy the right assets. Oh. And so make sure you're doing due diligence on your tax advisors, on the investment advisors, making sure that they're doing what you want to do. Mm-hmm. They've done this many, many times, and they understand what it takes to qualify, how to underwrite performing properties so that you don't have to sell it in a year and then recapture all that back, because that's a real pain. Mm-hmm. And we talk to people all the time that have done that. They call us and say, hey, listen, I need to like revitalize this property. And there's sometimes if you buy the wrong property in the wrong market, there's not a lot you can do to revitalize it. Right. And so it's make sure that you don't just get, you know, your eyes glossed over with all the great benefits. Yeah. Understand the pros and cons of everything, because all of this has pros and cons. If you're going to buy a property and resell it in the next year or two, you probably don't want to do that because you're going to recapture it anyway. So if it's more of a short-term deal, a fix and flip type of a short-term rental, and you plan on flipping it or selling it, you're probably not going to do the bonus depreciation, right?
Yeah.
But if you're going to add it to your portfolio long-term, first and foremost, understand the underwriting for a quality asset in a quality area that's going to do the other three things that are important: cash flow, appreciation, note pay down. Those three things are going to stick with that property all the time. Every year, you're going to return on those three. Mm-hmm. The big tax savings, bonus depreciation is a one-time deal year one, which can be a phenomenal one-time deal to really let Uncle Sam cover that down payment and parlay it to the next property. But you got to walk into their assets with your eyes wide open.
That would be terrifying to that bonus depreciate. And then year two, you go, you know, I'm just going to sell it. And then they go, actually,
Did you know? Had to recapture all this?
That would be a terrifying experience. But I mean, we also have the people that can help with the taxes, help you understand the taxes, and help you understand how to design it, how to market it, how to do all the things to really operate in the top 1%.
Yeah.
So if you want to do this and you actually want to do it, you know, you want to run down this road and don't click the easy button and actually perform at the top, we can help you with that. Yeah. Supportadvocacy.com. And if you're looking for more in depth on this, we've been doing some episodes that you can really learn a lot. I would recommend 265. We go over the STR tax loophole in depth, about 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. For 35 minutes, we talk about the ownership model and why it is the best. And that was episode 261. Episode 260, you can talk to our tax advisors, Mike and Kevin.
Listen to them.
They go on for 45 minutes about the taxes with short-term rentals. That's episode 260. Check out our previous episodes. We go in depth on this. Some really, really great stuff. Moving on. Is that good? Ready to move on?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Okay.
Let's keep it going. I think the next topic goes into what we're going to see the next part of this year.
So someone, they want to do this, they jump in. What should they expect 30, 60, 9 days out? Let's start with 30 days out. What is something that they should expect? Are they closing on the deal? Are they still looking for the home?
Yeah, you're going to go through three major phases.
Okay.
And the first phase of really buying the right property in the right area, the right market, underwriting these deals, that phase can take 30 to 60 days, right? You're really identifying what your buying power is, what market you want to be in, how are we underwriting these properties? Because we are still dealing with higher interest rates, lower inventory, and you're going to be dealing with higher competition. And and so what's going to happen is these markets, there was $7.3 trillion sitting in money market accounts over the last year, record numbers of money, which is just money sitting on the sideline ready to be deployed. It's not all going into short-term rentals. That's not what I'm saying. But short-term rentals are a preferred asset class, and real estate specifically is a very preferred asset class where a lot of that money will dump into. Well, there was a lot of people waiting for that is bonus depreciation coming back? So what's going to happen is you're going to have a lot of investors jumping into a market. So right. you're going to have to be patient. You're going to have to really understand the underwriting on these deals.
Yeah.
You're going to probably be competing with people. Mm-hmm. And that can take 30 to 60 days just in that phase. Mm. Hopefully you're under contract. So we ran, we've got over 3,000 active investors in our group. We ran right. A survey to figure out how long it was taking most people to buy. And this was over the last couple of years, right? And okay. we were running this survey. When did they actually go under contract on mm-hmm. a successful property? Mm-hmm. 58% of our mm-hmm. mentorship group was under contract within, we were within, hold on, I don't want to mess this up. 3 months, 90 days. Okay. So they were under contract within 90 days.
Okay.
So in 3 months, 58% of them under contract. So that right. 30, 60, 90 days, you're really diving into the acquisition phase.
Okay.
We have people that were under contract in 2 weeks, mm-hmm. right? But you don't know when the right property is going to come around. Mm-hmm. And you have to be patient and be very clear about sticking to your property goals. 76% of our members were under contract within 6 months. So you could be 6 months in. There's a really good chance that close to 80% of them are going to be under contract in that amount of time. And that's with all the tools and resources and understanding and everything else. Now, understand that our process is a very conservative process. We are not diving into anything. You will be taught how to underwrite in a very conservative manner. So some people might have a little bit faster road to be under contract. Mm-hmm. Our training that we go through is going to be a more conservative approach to it. So just take that for what it is.
Okay.
But we're sitting here in July right now. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to take advantage of this year and you want to have a property in service this year, which means you still have to get to step two as well, which is creating a unique experience, setting it up, and then being able to have a marketable and have somebody in and out of that door mm-hmm. by December 31st. Mm. This is not a process you want to wait until October to start.
Right.
You need to be thinking about it right now. Because your first 3 to 6 months is going to be spent in that acquisition phase. The next, you're going to have the probably your most intense phase with what I call is the setup phase, mm-hmm. which is, getting that property furnished, get it set up, create a unique experience, get it all ready to be photography, ready to go market this property. That phase from closing to furnishing to marketing, that's probably a 1 to 2 month, 30 to 60 days, depending on how much, who you're like, if you hire it out versus if you're trying to do it yourself.
Yeah.
But it's a very intense phase, right? It might not be really long, but it's going to be a very intense phase. Mm-hmm. Then the marketing starts.
Right.
One of the qualifications to qualify for bonus depreciation, the year you're going to try to materially participate in bonus depreciate, the property has to be in service. Right. And so you have to be able to find the property, set it up, get it marketed, have somebody book it. And it can't be your friend. You can't call up, your brother or sister or your friend. It's got to be an arm's length transaction. It's got to be doesn't have to be on Airbnb, for example, but it should be it's going to be marketed somewhere.
Right.
That somebody can book it. Mm-hmm. And then, ultimately it just has to be in service. But then with the IRS, there's always a gray area. So our conservative approach and our CPAs, what we're trying to do with the gold standard is get somebody in and out before the end of the year. So they actually book their stay, money exchange hands. There's no question that property's in service now because somebody was in there.
Right.
So you're toward the, right now you're getting to the point where you're saying, okay, I'm not really rushing it, but I am kind of because I'm going to probably be competing with people on the areas and markets that I want to go into because there's going to be a lot of people thinking the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. And so there's going to be kind of a rush to start doing this. Now, that's a conservative approach to the timeline. But when we have people call us in October, November, they start hitting the fourth quarter of the year and they're trying to do this from start to finish. It's really difficult.
Yeah.
And those are the ones too, a lot of times that fall trapped to these turnkey, hey, I'll just pay me X amount of money and I'll deliver you a great property. Mm-hmm. We don't do that for a reason. One, I don't ever let anybody underwrite my own deals. So why would I ask somebody else to let me underwrite theirs, right? Mm. I'm going to teach you how I underwrite. I'm going to look over your shoulder. I'm going to make sure T's are crossed, I's are dotted. I'll tell you what I see on those deals because we've underwritten thousands of deals and some people haven't ever done that. Mm. So we're going to teach you what we're looking at, but I want you to learn how to do it because you're writing the check and you want to be responsible for your own deals. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's tempting, and it's going to be tempting, because I promise you, over the next couple months, we're going to see a lot of different ads. We're going to see a lot of different people pop back up. Mm-hmm. And they were all of a sudden, now they're ownership experts, and they weren't right. in the ownership game for a long time.
Right.
And so just do some due diligence. There's some great mm-hmm. people out there. It doesn't have to be us. There's people that really do understand the ownership game.
Yeah.
But pay attention to who it is. And yeah. like I can speak from where we stand. We have never done anything but the ownership model. Yeah. And I bought my first one back in 2006. We don't co-host. We don't arbitrage. We don't do any side hustles with this stuff. We buy properties. We build quality portfolios, and we perform. Mm. And so make sure, again, we're not the only ones out there like that.
Right.
I do think when you start to run down this road, it's very, very important to line yourself up with people who understand the game you're going to be playing, because this is going to be a game that's going to get really crowded again for a little while.
Right. Yeah, we're definitely not the only people out there, but we are the best. So yeah. Just keep that in mind, guys.
We think we are the best.
we are the best, dude. I mean, yeah, the people that are, you know, interested in bonus depreciation are competitive people, in my opinion. Like they're people that care about this are high income earners. They operate at the top. They want to be the best. That's why they're doing this. So you're now competing with other top of the line people.
Right.
So the thought process doesn't go, okay, rubber's got to hit the road and I got to rush to do this really fast, because what's going to happen in year two? You rush this thing and now the IRS is going, hey, where's that money back? Because you're trying to sell it, right?
If you sell it, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like if you rush it, you're gonna rush this process. Like, you really need to care about this and what you're doing, and then come talk to the best. SupportiveAussie.com.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that I feel like that answered. Was that fair enough?
Yeah.
Moving on to our hot potato question.
Okay.
Here it is. In your opinion, what's the one piece of furniture that's an absolute must in a short-term rental?
Yeah. It's a good question. And it's the furniture that you don't see, okay. right? It's a piece of furniture that, you know, what do we talk about all the time? Your guests want what when they stay? A good night's rest, right? Mm-hmm. You better understand how to get and put good mattresses in your property, right? We just got back from a little river trip, and it's in this little small town. You got little motels, right? Little boutique motels. Uh-huh. And every room I stay there all the time. And it's always rolling the dice on what mattress I'm going to get, because all the rooms have different mattresses. And sometimes there's some that are good. There's some that are horrible. There's terrible some that game. You sit on them and it folds up like a taco because they're so soft. And right. And so you don't know what you're getting. And so fortunately, last night, mine was pretty good. And so but we joke about it all the time, because it's going to be you're rolling the dice and, you know. We don't have choices where we go here. And so it's a one-stop shop is the only game in town sometimes. But we're not the only game in town in most of our markets. And the point of that is the piece of furniture you should focus on is the mattress. Mm-hmm. It makes or breaks a stay if your guests have a good night's rest. Mm-hmm. And I don't care all the amenities you have, everything else. If your guest wakes up or they didn't sleep all night and they just didn't have a good night's rest, and they've got three or four nights there, they're just dreading your property. And that's all they remember. It's all they think about. But a good night's rest makes everything else more enjoyable. Okay. And so pay attention to the mattresses.
Think about your own home. When you don't even sleep well in your own home, you wake up upset.
Yeah.
Now you just paid money to be here on vacation. You can't even sleep.
Right.
Oh, dude, that's a great answer. Well, also, we also make our beds.
Yes, we do.
Odyssey Sleep System.
Yeah, Odyssey Sleep System. I mean, it is. And that wasn't meant to be it is a plug, because we spent a lot of time and effort figuring the Odyssey Sleep System out. I mean, it was because we would do the same thing. We'd buy different mattresses, or they'd get discontinued, and we would recommend a certain, let's say, Sealy mattress or like Certus mattress or whatever. Uh-huh. So finally, we were like, hey, listen, we gotta like really dial this in. And we have our own sleep system. And whether it's for bunks, whether it's for it's literally a system that gets rave reviews. In fact, our members sell them because they get them so cheap, and their guests can go buy them because they love them so much. And so, but that is a piece of furniture that is critical, and it will be like, it's not one you see. It's not one that shows up in photos. That a bad mattress and a good mattress look the exact same in photography, you know? And so, as long as the bed's made nice.
True.
But there, it doesn't show up, but it's one of those that when the guest experience is either elevated or downgraded instantly with the right mattress or the wrong one.
Beautiful answer. Jam packed with information today.
Yeah. And guys, we will go like the big, beautiful bill that was signed. Right. Go look at it. Go do some research. Mm-hmm. Everybody has opinions online about stuff in the short term rental game. You know, there's a lot of actually things that are great for business owners, us as investors, that we can go take advantage of and make sure that are part of our strategy. But you ought to do a little research. There's a lot that was packed in there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things in there. And so you want to make sure that based on your situation and everything going on, go do a little bit of research. Just read stuff online. Don't just listen to podcasts for all your information. Like, go do a little bit of research. Mm-hmm. And then if you are diving into the short-term rental game, I'd love you to reach out to us. Go to Vodacy.com and you can go check out all of our success stories and do this, because it is going to be important to walk into this with your eyes wide open. This is a game that is going to be very, very crowded as far as your newsfeed and as far as your emails and as far as your Instagram page. It's going to be, you know, the algorithm knows you like this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it can be great. It spurs ideas. It gives you, you know, it's fun to think about the what ifs and the better life and all those different things. It's just when it comes to taxes and writing things off and everything else. And I will tell you, we are going to be very shortly doing a podcast with me and our CPAs again, because I'm in the middle of an audit.
Yeah.
And we're auditing a property that we did bonus depreciation on, that we did material participate with a property manager, by the way, which a lot of people tell you can't do. And we are passing it with flying colors. As soon as I get that stamp of approval, we are going to go public with that and show, you know, that hey, listen, because of the conservative approach, and our auditor has been awesome. He's like, man, this is a really like textbook way this should be done. And he's told my CPAs that. And it's awesome because we know whether we're walking into this with our eyes wide open. We know that we're taking a conservative approach, taking advantage of those tax loopholes that are available to us. I'm not telling anybody not to. You should absolutely, if you're in a position to do it. It helps you accelerate that wealth building. But that big asterisk is make sure you're walking into it with your eyes wide open with two sets of professionals on the tax side and then the investment side, because they're not the same, but they go hand in hand. Make sure you're getting people that are actually have done this, buying properties, working with high income earners, understand what it takes to qualify so that you don't walk into a buzzsaw 2 or 3 years from now with a bad asset and you're trying to recapture all that stuff and you don't know what to do.
Yeah, man, waves are coming. Don't let the riptide pull you under. Start surfing.
Yeah, and it's gonna be a wild ride. Yeah. We've been saying this. What did I say 2 or 3 months ago? I said, listen, 2025 is gonna be, I believe, well, looking back, going to be one of the best buying opportunities that we've ever seen in the short-term rental game.
4 months ago, episode 253.
Right? We've been, re-listen to it, because all that's starting to come true and you're going to start to see this wave where it's going to roll into 2026. And I think we're going to have a really nice upswing in this asset class in the near future if you know what you're doing.
So that's very exciting news, man.
It's going to be a little different than the COVID, though. It's not going to be one of those swings, I believe, that everybody with a short-term rental is making money. It's not going to be like having toilet paper during COVID, right? That's what I said the short-term rentals were in 2021, 2022, those couple years after COVID. It's not going to be like that. We're going to have this huge upswing, but it's going to be dominated by the people at the top of the markets. So we will... just, you know, timestamp that one. So we look back. I look like Nostradamus, right?
Okay.
All right.
That's what we got for today.
Okay, guys. Well, we always appreciate you spending your time with us. We hope you had an amazing 4th of July weekend. You know, it's always my favorite holiday of the year. I love 4th of July. Feels like the summer is kind of now on the downslide after 4th of July, which is a little depressing.
Yeah.
But it is, it's also, you know, such a fun time. Hopefully everybody had a safe time and all over the 4th of July weekend had fun, you know,
time to kick it into gear, though, man.
It is time. It's that separation season. There's a lot of people sitting on the sidelines.
Yeah.
And you are not alone, but you also are not going to be alone jumping off. And so get ahead of the game. Get a head start on all those people jumping out, because a lot of people will come off that sideline at the end of the summer. So you still got a little bit of ways to get ahead of people. We'll wrap it up for today. You guys, we appreciate you spending your time with us. If you have more than 30 seconds, like it or review it on whatever platform you're watching or listening on. If you have questions, send them in to support@vodacy.com. We'll make sure that we answer them on an upcoming episode. If you know somebody else that would like to be a part of these conversations, share the show. Those things really help us grow. And our goal is to help people walk into this game with their eyes wide open. We hope that that is what we're doing for you. And if you know somebody else that would like that, share the show. We appreciate it. The final most important thing I ask you at the end of every episode: pick that one thing you can do today. Start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends.
Cheers.
Cheers, brother.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey Grace, is there a website?
Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.